Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hey, welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, at your service. Broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, as well as Blog Talk Radio, and of course, YouTube Live. I just want to say thank you so much for everyone, to everyone for your support, your trust, and your belief in us as we deal with a number of issues. I got a beautiful, wonderful show lined up for you tonight. First up is an hour of news information analysis. Hour one, analysis of what's going on in the headlines. Hour twos and hour two and three. Steve Quayle is going to be coming on talking about True Legends, the epilogue, what he did not say at the True Legends conference, actually. And he's going to be giving our audience a treat for those 2 hours. Romans 8:28. For those people who would like to kind of have a spiritual guide as to where he will be headed, but some interesting information and 25 points actually we're going to be talking about, and in the show right up there's five mentioned. It's interesting. One of the things leading off the deep state or the actual shadow government, the war against Donald Trump, the war against the American people, the will of the American people. It's interesting that we see that it's come out now that Pence has sent a lawyer to meet with Mueller over the summer. The attorney, Pence's attorney, sat down with FBI special counsel at the vice president's request and expressed willingness to cooperate in this Russian probe, the non-existent phishing or the non-existent scandal that's turned into a fishing expedition. Now, this is interesting because Vice President Mike Pence's outside lawyer met privately with Robert Mueller at Pence's request. What's going on here?
At Pence's request.
Yeah.
So this wasn't just part of cooperating with an investigation. This was going out of your way.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And Pence retained independent counsel, which is really not unusual in cases like this. But he retained Richard Cullen, the chairman of McGuire Woods and a former U.S. attorney. Again, not
an Obama
unusual.
Lawyer by any chance?
No, no.
Okay.
But to represent him in the Russian probe. What I find a little bit disturbing in this whole thing is that Vice President Pence had been so quick to say, okay, we'll meet with Mueller and recognize Mueller's mandate to the extent that he has. And one of the things that I think overlap into this, and this is something I spoke about in my morning show today. And by the way, folks, tune into my show 9 to 10 p.m. or 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Joe and John's show 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. What I spoke about in my show was the Hillary Clinton timeline, and give a little bit of history too, as well as the overreach by the various government bodies. In other words, you've got three branches of government. The judicial overreach, it was never intended as such. And I even kind of gave a little bit of history lesson, citing from the book, I believe it was, I'm not sure which book it was, but nonetheless, it was one of the WND books I had mentioned previously. But the fact of the matter is, we're seeing a lot of overreach here and a coup simultaneous or concurrent with what I believe is a civil war taking place, a cold civil war, but a civil war nonetheless. So as the program unfolds tonight, you're going to get an hour's worth of solid analysis of the news headlines and then 2 hours worth of very exclusive material by Steve Quayle. And of course, this is, for those who attended the Branson conference, this is extra material. For those who did not attend the Branson conference, this is standalone material that should be viewed in that context. So all of this is excellent, and so this is going to be an excellent broadcast tonight. The other headlines, of course, you know, it continues. It continues, Joe, with the NFL.
Yeah,
okay. It just continues, and it goes on and on and on. And I know, for example, Sean Hannity doesn't believe in boycotts, but I'll tell you something. When you're looking at this, and again, I want to mention in my personal Twitter feed, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, I had a four panel picture posted, and it's pinned on my Twitter feed on top. And it's about respecting our country, respecting the American flag, and why you should do that. And a lot of Christians will say, well, wait a minute. That's idolatry. It's idol worship. No, it's not. It's respect. And plain and simple, it's respect.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is.
But it can be idol worship if you take it to the extreme.
Come on.
If you take it to the extreme, if you hold the American flag up, you know, in the same esteem as the Bible.
Well, of course. Okay. I mean, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Okay. I mean, seriously, anyone who would use that argument, in my view, is either a moron or they're intentionally being dishonest. And that's my view. So, I'm serious. If you consider idol worship, in the same context of standing for the national anthem or a pledge of allegiance to the flag, in my view, you got more problems than I can deal with. I'll tell you that. And just go away. Just as simple as that. But, there was a news of a Tennessee businessman. Actually protesting, and he pulled ads during the NFL games, calls the NFL protests unpatriotic. And again, this is something that I believe that we should see, and we should vote with our feet and vote with our wallets and vote with our, I really personally believe that we should bankrupt these teams.
You know,
just like the airlines.
You said Sean Hannity doesn't support the boycotts. And I understand, you know, when the heat was on him, when he and his sponsors were being boycotted, and he came out and talked about that, about not wanting to be a part of the boycott. But there are, I mean, in some instances, there is no other way to show people.
No, I agree.
What they're doing is wrong and unacceptable. Except the boycott by your wallet, by your presence and the absence thereof. Now, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines an idol as a representation or symbol of an object of worship, broadly a false god, a likeness of something, a form or appearance visible but without substance, an enhanced phantom.
Right. So the first
an object
part
of extreme
fine.
Devotion.
Okay. But the first part is don't even... Really? Because I won't even have that discussion. I read that definition to
say that the American flag, in my opinion, how I look at it, and I know how you look at it, is not an object of worship.
And anyone who does, that's
respect.
Their problem.
It's respect. Honor and respect.
Yeah. So I will not even have that discussion with people. It's really simple. You're an American. You're proud of your country. You respect the flag for what it stands for. You don't worship it. You respect it. It's a matter of respect. You stand for it. And if you don't want to, then get the hell out. Pack your bags and get the hell out. Simple as that. That's just the way I feel about it. And if you think that that's unchristian-like, then that's your right to feel that way. And the reason you're allowed to express that opinion, and the reason I'm allowed to express that opinion, is because of that flag. Because many Americans have died for that freedom. Again, many Americans have suffered and died for that freedom to say exactly that. So if you don't like that, then you know what? Go somewhere else and see how, for example, Saudi Arabia treats you when you try to proselytize or bring a Bible in or a cross or whatever. And you'll find out. Or if you decide to, for example, marry your brother or your boyfriend, and you're a guy. And, you'll find out. So good luck with that. That's all I've got to say.
Back to the NFL real quick. There is an article I posted on Hagman Report today. Morning, Joe. Trump's NFL remarks were calculated ploy to activate racist sentiments and chauvinism in Americans. yesterday we pointed out and talked about another news outlet that said that the white players who stand for the national anthem are supporting white supremacy.
Right.
Now, you know, everybody else is getting into the mix. Now, Morning Joe and Mika Brzezinski are getting into the NFL discussion.
Right.
And they're talking about the players who are basically protesting the national anthem by kneeling. And we've cited the examples of how it has even trickled down to the Pee Wee football leagues, where you have 8-year-olds who are, you know, refusing to stand.
Yeah,
for the
we talked about
anthem.
This, and in fact, that occurred when I was staying in St. Louis. That occurred right outside of St. Louis, and to me, okay,
right.
First of all, but the 8-year-olds, okay, they don't know any better.
No,
okay,
they don't understand the right. impact that of what they're doing.
But what I think should be done is the idiots, the morons who are teaching the 8-year-olds. If I was one of the fathers and I saw some one of these mamby-pamby morons out there saying, "Well, you don't have to stand. You know, you could express your rights." All right, come on. Okay, I dragged that guy by his earring, I'm sure, or his nipple ring. I'm probably sure he's got one off the field and kick his ass. And
well,
I'm allowed to say that.
I'm sure the...
I check, by the way, with the FCC, and that's okay.
I'm sure the people who coach those kids who are doing that are the same kind of coaches who will be the first ones to ban prayer from their practices and from their football field. So these things do go hand in hand. But what's interesting about the... it's bad enough to see this, what's going on with the NFL and the disrespect towards the national anthem... from these players protesting it, which is their right to do, but at the same time, there can be consequences for your actions. But what's really interesting is how they're now tying the act of actually not protesting the national anthem into a form of racism. And this is something that...
It's all about race, Joe. What they're saying. None of this is about race, but it's all about race.
That's exactly right. They're turning it in. They're using every little controversy that they can find as an excuse to continue that racist narrative. Just like Hillary Clinton uses every excuse in her book tour interviews to blame Russia for the election loss. And I do have some news on the there was a report issued by the Department of Homeland Security that 21 states had attempted hacking of their election machines. Now, the report does not say the origin of where those attacks came from, but all the writers in the different publications make the assumption that it was Russia. But we know that members of our own government actually were behind some of those hacks, like in Georgia and in Tennessee. They came directly from the Department of Homeland Security. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Go to HagmanReport.com, folks. There is a number of important stories up there. Peter Chalka has an article up there that he wrote yesterday and then did a revised edition specifically for the site on Hagman Report today.
Exactly. And I want people to understand how important these articles are, because with Peter Chalka and his insight into Fox News, you don't have a clue. If I told you the real, the backstory, with respect to Peter Chalka, Fox News, and the contacts and the conversations and all of this, he is so far out ahead of the game, so far out ahead with the information. And the information is rock solid, because I know where he's getting it from. I'll just put a period right there. And when I tell you this, and the reason I say that, and the reason this is important, is because the war, you've already got, you've got 94% of the, or actually, no, 98% roughly of the corporate media. You got Fox News. Now, by market share, it's the numbers are a little askew, but by market share, the only corporate media outlet that is represents any kind of non-liberal bias. Notice I didn't say conservative leanings, but non-liberal bias, is Fox News. Okay, no, unless you want to watch the Weather Channel. Although, arguably, that might be considered liberal. But, so, the effort now, there's a concurrent effort to take out Fox News, as well as the corporate, or as well as the alternative or new honest media. That's the effort. That's what's taking place.
And what's so interesting about that is it's not, they're not trying to take out Fox News. What they're doing is they're removing or trying to take out
as we know
personalities that make it what it is.
Fair enough. And that's a more precise way of saying that. When I say taking it, I'm talking about changing the complexion thereof. And of course, you would have that 100% capture. And so, in order to, you've got to take out, and they've been picking out or picking off the various personalities. But when you read what Peter Chuck has written, and you've got to read the article and then kind of think about it, as you would, well, in an investigative sense almost, because there is much more taking place behind the scenes, the full capture of the corporate mass media, as well as the new media is where they are headed. And ultimately, what just to kind of flip back, and I said this again during the show this morning and previous mornings, the lead up to all of this, Joe, and this is so important. What's the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is to destroy our representative republic, change us, subjugate us into this socialist platform, ultimately a communist, subjugate us under communism, which is the New World Order or the One World Government. And people roll their eyes and say, oh, wait a minute, you're one of those conspiracy nuts. No, hold on a second. I'm not talking about some sort of, I'm talking about just the collectivism that Charles Sasser's written about and William Murray's written about, this utopian road to hell. Where you've got the Maoist theory, Marxist, Stalinist, all of these collectivists in general that are, Charles Sasser crushing the collective, this is what they're attempting to do, and America is the final roadblock into the takeover. And I've said this many, many times, but I really believe it bears repeating as often as possible.
No, it does.
And so to understand the big picture here, and I used to think, for example, it would take a lot of people to really engage in a conspiracy. Frankly, it doesn't. It only takes a couple of... if you're able to control certain choke points...
Yep, if you have the compartmentalization.
That's right. There you go. And that's exactly what is taking place. They're controlling choke points. And I was talking with an attorney today, and it's interesting, talking about controlling choke points. For example, think of it this way, or think of this. Hillary Clinton, during her tenure as Secretary of State, every government department has a cop. Let's say like an internal affairs division, if you watch police shows, or if you're a police officer.
Right. The government accountability offices,
IG, the inspector general, for example. The State Department has an inspector general, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the time period that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, there was no Attorney General. There was an acting Attorney General borrowed from another department, but he was ineffective, basically, and he couldn't do anything. It was only 5 months after she left the position of Department of State was there a permanent Inspector General assigned to the Department of State.
Now, I haven't heard that before. Okay. Was that because Obama did not appoint somebody?
Correct.
Or
yes,
was that because
yes.
Hillary refused to
Both.
Be ruled over by
Both.
Somebody? Okay.
There was collusion there. It was Obama's responsibility, for example, to fill that slot. It didn't happen. So, when you think about it, when you pull everything back and look and say, okay, wait a minute. There's no oversight here, and there it is. So,
but couldn't they have just as easily filled it with somebody who would be so pro-Hillary and so friendly to the agenda of the Obama administration that it wouldn't matter?
But why? Why would they even want to do that? Why subjugate themselves to the oversight when it's sufficient to have like a figurehead in the form of an acting inspector general and not have a permanent inspector general? And that's what happened during the tenure of Hillary.
It's like having Comey in the FBI, the Hillary ally.
Pretty much. But yes, yes. And don't forget, you got to go back into the what, and I had done this. Comey, of course, Mueller, HSBC.
Yep. Drug laundering.
It goes back, and now two laws right now, I do suspect, are being broken. By the way, you know, Hillary Clinton, it was found, and I'm not sure how many people really get this. Again, I mentioned it this morning. She used, during her tenure, she used 11 electronic devices, 11 Blackberries, 4 laptops, or I'm sorry, 11 Blackberries, 4 iPads during her tenure as Secretary of State.
I thought it 11, was 13, but same difference.
Well, it does, yeah. 11 that I've been able to authenticate. So 11 Blackberries and 4 iPads. Now
she testified that she only had one device, if I remember.
Well, okay, yes. So not at one time. I mean, she's not carrying around 11 Blackberries. They were used consecutively. But if you go back and begin looking at the emails, and this is what I've done, and here's what I found out, and I think this is really important to really understand. At one point, Hillary was assigned two phone numbers. Two different phone numbers. One was for the BlackBerry. It was a BlackBerry specific, which she used to text, and one was a flip phone, cell phone. Okay?
Yeah.
Think about that. And also, the Blackberries were found. Now, I cannot confirm this, but it would appear that the Blackberries, if they are the same ones, and I suspect, and I've got reason to suspect they were, with government markings, the disposition of the Blackberries that she was not using anymore. Because sometimes she would get a new Blackberry and say, I like my old one better, and the aide would go fetch the old one, give it back to her, put the new one aside, and so on. That's kind of how it went. So 11 Blackberries, and then to be fair, 4 iPads, of which only 3 that she used. The fourth one she had given to as a gift to somebody. So there's 3 iPads. The FBI recovered none of those. And the aides had said, well, including the IT people such as Brian Pagliano. And there's another gentleman there as well, but they had smashed with a hammer Blackberries. Now, was that the case, or was the case that did they actually find the Blackberries in the home of Imran Awan, a home owned by Imran Awan and Hina Alvi in Lorton, Virginia, by Andre Taggart that found these items in the garage? Were those the missing Blackberries from the State Department, or, as others may assert or are asserting, that these Blackberries were not the Clinton Blackberries, but Blackberries owned by the members of the Congressional Caucus? Or the Democratic Caucus, the Democratic side on the House of Representatives, for which the Awan family worked. Is there overlap between the Awans, or the Awan criminal cabal, and Hillary Clinton, the State Department, Blackberries? My sources, I'm starting to believe that there is.
Last year, in September of 2016, the reports came out that Hillary Clinton may have sent emails from her personal email address using 13 different devices, according to an FBI report released Friday. The FBI released a detailed report of its investigation into Clinton's use of a private email server, while Secretary of State. The report indicates the FBI found 13 total mobile devices associated with her two known phone numbers that were potentially used to send emails via ClintonEmail.com. The report does not say that she used more than one device at a time during her years at the State Department. But
well, she definitely used, when you say devices, and this is kind of the...
Yeah, they say mobile devices.
Definition of what is. Okay, the BlackBerry would be a device to send and receive texts or whatever SMS messages.
Yep.
The flip phone would be strictly for conversational purposes, oral communications. So, But there's something else here, and I'm going to be talking. I think I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow. There is the Combetta. There's an aspect here, Paul Combetta. All right. You know, remember, for example, the issue in my notes. I've got my notes all, sorry. Man, you know, when you get old, folks, it's hard to see. Which is why I kind of like to write things out as opposed to type things out. All of this kind of goes back to Benghazi. And I think one of the things that the Benghazi hearings did was, give us the information that Hillary Clinton had multiple emails and that she violated the own State Department rules by using, but she brought her BlackBerry into the SCIF, which you'd never do.
Yep.
Okay.
Used on unsecured,
three occasions.
Unsecured lines, right, with classified, right, information.
Right. So all of this and more on the other side, because this speaks to a larger cover up that actually kind of overlaps into what Mueller and what Mueller is doing. So if you can start connecting the dots, you can see that, wait a minute, there's a big cover-up here of which Hillary Clinton is behind and a part of, as so is Obama.
Not even a cover-up. I mean, it's not even just a cover-up. It's an ongoing criminal conspiracy.
That's right.
That has been continued to be...
And you know what? No one's talking about this.
By Mueller, by the Obama administration, the deep state holdovers, yep, from the Obama administration.
Yep.
Hillary Clinton and the news media.
Yep.
You know, it's a witch hunt. It's exactly what they say about Mueller. What, he's going back 10 years in tax records from 10 years ago?
On Paul Manafort, yep.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you talk about a witch hunt. This is exactly what we're seeing.
Yep. All right, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. And you're listening, you're tuned right into it, of course, 9 to 10 a.m. every morning, Doug Hagman radio show. 2 to 3, John and Joe get together, their radio show. And then the flagship show, 7 to 10 p.m. every night, Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. And that's what you're tuned into tonight. And of course, at the top of this hour, coming up will be Steve Quayle.
You know, as much as we talk about on our daily show, the need for us to grow past your show number-wise, you get some of the best feedback on your one-hour show.
Really?
Even more so than the three-hour show we do at night.
Seriously.
I'm gonna start a folder for you.
I have been in meetings, all week. And this is honest. I usually like catch up on emails on the weekends. Every day this week I've had a morning and afternoon meeting, and today this meeting this morning went from the morning to the afternoon and it lasted 3 hours. And, that was after the hour radio show I did, and then I went to, I did some other recordings, then had a meeting, and then what did I do after that? Oh, I tried to catch up on some office work and I got, anyway, so not that you really want to hear my schedule, right? But with me, next to me, was Lady the Studio Dog. So, and she, I brought her into the studio now. I think she's tired of hanging out with me. But
no, you get tons of feedback from
anything from today
from listeners. Today I have not seen anything.
Okay.
But
I was just curious because today I what happens is I start getting into my notes. I'm looking at my notes and I'm talking and all of a sudden I hear the music playing. And it's like, what happened? You know, it hits you by surprise. I didn't pace myself today, and I'm sorry about that. So what I did was I did an extra recording, but I didn't put it up because when I thought about it, I still had, this is not a lie, like 8 more pages to go. And I only had gone through 2 pages of the 10, had 8 more to go even after the second hour. So I'm thinking, nah, I've got to distill this down. So essentially I did an hour of radio. I'm just going to deep 6. But, really what we're seeing, and I truly believe this, and all of these crime scenes, and this is how I've got to look at Washington in order to keep this straight. They're all crime scenes. And you asked me about the Imran Awan leaving the laptop and duffel bag, laptop and notebook,
yes,
and documents, including his passport and identification, in a cubbyhole on the second floor of the Rayburn office building.
And there's stories that are reporting that he did this intentionally draw the police attention to these devices.
Right. Okay.
Which I'm not sure I believe that.
Okay. First of all, wow. Let me just say this. When you're looking on the internet at open source information, and I will caution you, boy, how do I say this? Even with people that we have spoken with, you've got to be very careful because sometimes they get led astray. And the I will say this, probably 60% of the information, maybe even 70% of the information that we receive never makes it to air. Never does. You know why?
At least that much, yeah?
Yeah, maybe even more. But in the case of the Awan infiltration into the congressional Democratic House of Representatives, in the 80-plus members that they work for over the decade, 12 years actually, Imran Awan, Hina Alvi, the brothers, Ra'u Abbas, the friend, they worked at McDonald's, the guy that loaned $100,000, Alatar, I believe it is. Again, this is just from memory. I don't have my notes in front of me, but all of these people all play a role in this. Now, getting back to your point, the Awans, by the way, were the whole Awan clan, Imran Awan being the clan leader, shall we say, was banned from the Congress and the whole shebang February 2nd of this year as a result of an investigation being conducted by the Capitol Police. Now, Then you saw, okay, so that was February 2nd. You can't, Imran, Awans, everybody, get out of here. Lockdown. But here's the problem. Now, what I was able to verify, others are reporting as well, Imran Awan had, of course, backdoor access to hardware and software. Not just the software, not just the hardware, but both of the various house offices. So, in other words, imagine you've got your cable guy comes in and puts in a modem and puts in a router and such and hooks you all up. Or in your office building, which is perhaps more analogous. Hooks you all up and develops an intranet as well as hooks you up to the internet. The software that was planted, based on everything I've been able to determine, all you'd have to do is take your laptop and sit outside or sit near the Rayburn office building. You don't have to go inside. And you could actually access the various people's computers.
There's there's a number of ways that they can do that. We read reports where Awan had
service.
Actual,
yes.
People like Nancy Pelosi's iPads.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. But and Debbie Wasserman Schultz's iPad, specifically.
You only need those things for a few seconds. And as you said, you can put something in there, a backdoor,
right.
A bug, to where all you need is your laptop, and you can access all these different devices through backdoor channels without being noticed, without the person who owns and uses the device even seeing you on there.
But here's the crazy part about this is the Awans weren't satisfied with being, in my view, again, this I have to couch this allegedly, they weren't satisfied with doing that. What they did was Imran Awan and the Awan clan, they actually started a business where they would buy the equipment back from the house or from the house and replace it with equipment that had the back doors in. And they would sell that equipment back to the house. So
okay.
They owned the company that actually did the modifications to the equipment that they were using to spy. How great is that?
So
this is America.
Like a funny example is like how in 2009 when we had that attempted shoe bombing of a plane, the head of Homeland Security, Michael Chernoff, decided to implement the TSA body scanners. But little did we know he owned
the stock in the company.
Same kind of mentality.
Yeah. But this is exponentially worse because of the espionage factor. So plus the Awans had an offsite server and their Pakistani nationals. And tell me why we've got Pakistani nationals in handling our IT for three of the highest level committees in Congress. It duct tape around the head. One last thing. And, Lady the Studio Dog, UPS guy, meet one another. Okay. Anyway, the other part of this too, we can switch topics, but, when Hina Alvi decided to come over to the United States back from Pakistan, there is something going on here, with Hina Alvi and her plea bargain. And I think the fact that the FBI had been compromised to the extent it had and what we've seen to this point, I'm not so sure that we're going to see justice brought forth against the Awans, because the indictment, as Andrew McCarthy from the National Review, I don't really care for that publication, but I like the man, Andrew McCarthy, former federal prosecutor. The indictment was so narrow and the investigation was so limited that it failed to address the larger aspect of espionage, and it failed to address all of the principles involved in this. So the bottom line here is this. We're only seeing just a very narrow portion of what's really the damage done to our national security. Very narrow, and some of the people named, including but not limited to W. Wasserman Schultz, in my view, Andre Carson, Keith Ellison, Jackie Spears, some of these people are key. And to the extent that W. Wasserman Schultz went to bat for Imran Awan, to the extent that he did,
to the threatening police, the Capitol Police,
right? There's a whole lot of fire and smoke there. So, and there's more to come on that. So, but the bottom line with that is that overlaps into Seth Rich. Don't forget about Seth Rich and the
you seen the pictures
leaks
of Juan and Seth Rich at the bar? Last seen that. It wasn't from that evening, but it was a few months before.
Now, my question. Okay, yeah, I've seen those pictures, and
they knew each other and they were acquainted in some way.
Can we authenticate? See, here's the problem with the digital age. Anyone can Photoshop anything, right? Do we have independent authentication of the photographs?
I don't know if I still have them saved, but they were taken from screenshots directly from one of their social media pages.
Okay. All right. Well, you're getting warm.
Guys, maybe like six or seven guys, and one of the Awan brothers is there, and Seth Rich is another person who's there.
Well, you know,
and it's one picture from maybe 3 months before he was killed.
But he was within a crowd of people, though, right? Or
there was more people there, yeah.
Right, and I'll tell you this: somebody shows me, with a group of people that I might not know any of them or one of them.
Right,
I might say, oh yeah, I kind of remember that picture, or I know where it's from. But nonetheless, was there interaction? Absolutely. But the Russian narrative was born out of the DNC leak, and it wasn't a hack, but a leak. So that's where the Russian narrative was born. And Comey's actions by leaking the information that he had to the mainstream corporate media through an intermediary caused that special counsel, Robert Mueller, to be created. And people have to understand, that's why Mueller exists today in that capacity, is because Comey had given the contemporaneous or allegedly contemporaneous written documents to the law professor who sent it out to the New York Times and the Washington Post. And that's the reason that we have Mueller in office. But it's interesting because Mueller, Comey, Rod Rosenstein, as well as others, are all should be disqualified from this. McCabe must be disqualified. Yet, who disqualifies himself? Sessions. Why? You got me.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with this. The congressional record from March 10th, 2017. It starts out by stating there are radical Islamists who want to destroy our way of life.
Yes.
And it goes on to talk about.
But who read that in the record?
This was, I think, Louis Gohmert.
Louis Gohmert. Oh yeah, I read. Okay, yes. And he got a lot of heat on it for that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He goes on to talk about how he says, I want to reopen this important issue. It seems that what some of us were trying to point out.
Third paragraph down, Imran Awan, right?
For the 8 years under the Obama administration fell on deaf ears, that there really are radical Islamists who want to destroy our way of life in the United States. And they don't just look at us as infidels, and not just Christians, Jews, secularists, and others, but even Muslims who do not adapt and accept the radical Islamic ways.
Right.
Now they go on to say this, that they work to the advantage of care, and for 8 years, the Muslim Brotherhood affiliated groups had unlimited access to the White House as they supported terrorism.
Sure.
They had ties all over the United States, and they have had ties to people who continually had access to Obama's White House, the State Department, and many other top governmental organizations.
Yep.
Time and time again, the Obama administration looked the other way as serious matters arose involving radical Islamists, both in the U.S. and abroad. And it goes on to talk about the Obama administration's approach and why there was so much inaction against these infiltrators of America because the Obama administration was part of it.
Now stop right there, because that I can wrap my head around, and I think everyone listening and viewing can wrap their head around. But think about this now. Okay, that's about the infiltration, right? We have a simple matter, or not so simple matter, over the Hillary Clinton emails that I talked about earlier. And this kind of addresses, or this kind of touches on what you were saying. Judicial Watch filed a Freedom of Information Act request over the emails. Emails, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just looking for an update on this story.
Okay, but wait a second. But here's the problem. Tom Fitton, who I think is a fantastic patriot, said the biggest, in fact, Judicial Watch today said that a federal judge will personally review in camera, in other words, outside of the view of the public, redacted material from emails discussing Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's use of iPads and iPhones and the emails during her tenure at the State Department. Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch said, you know, we're getting more blowback and more resistance from the people inside the Sessions Department of Justice than ever before.
I believe it.
What in the world is going on?
We know what's going on.
Well,
it is the corrupt protecting the corrupt. They have, Sessions has his own skeletons in his closet. He has his own history of corruption. He has his own secrets. If he does not want those secrets to come out, he's going to do his best to protect others' secrets who can expose him.
Well, you know, Trump had appeared in one other campaign or one of the rallies, I think, when he endorsed Strange, or no, maybe it's before that, which was a mistake, I think.
Yeah,
I
didn't get that.
But he had said when there were a chance of lock her up in reference to Hillary Clinton, he said, ask Jeff Sessions. Well, wait a minute. And I get the fact that we've got three separate branches of government, but isn't that, shouldn't there be some sort of push and pull, give and take here with respect to Jeff Sessions in this? I would think so. But.
Well, Trump's right to say that. Trump's right not to spearhead the effort to go after Hillary Clinton criminally. It is not his job. It might be his job to tell his appointees and his officials this is the direction they may want to look at. But I think it would...
I understand that.
It is Jeff Sessions' job. And Craig the Sawman Sawyer, when he was on last Friday,
yep.
he nailed this point, and he was right on the money. Where is Jeff Sessions? And we even got an email from somebody who was listening to your show who asked that same question. In response to something you were talking about on your show, I'm sure it had to do with the Juan and Hillary Clinton.
Well, and my answer is the same, though. My question is the same as that person's question. But the fact is, there are so many Obama appointees, and even going back to Clinton, even that long ago, burrowed into these positions of these bureaucratic positions where. It doesn't make sense that they're fighting. Now, can Donald Trump clean the swamp that deeply? I don't know, and I don't believe it's possible. So, all of that said, I think Jeff Sessions needs to, at this point, I think, the heck with Mueller. I think another independent or special counsel should be appointed. All of the criminality, whether it be Obama, Clinton, or both, should be held under the purview of a special counsel, not independent counsel. That's improper language, I suppose, based on the Independent Counsel Act. But
right, we should go back to from the Bush.
Yep.
Well, and from 2000 until today, either side of the party affiliations have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and I mean the emails will lead to the espionage that will lead to the infiltration, which will lead to, you name it, and this will all be connected, and even the elected and appointed officials in the government right now will be under the gun, under the target or in the crosshairs of the special counsel. And I think we need an independent investigation. I'll volunteer. Let me be an investigator. I'll do it for nothing. Nothing.
We talk about the deep state, the Obama.
I am doing it for nothing. Anyway, I'm sorry.
We talk about the deep state, the Obama holdovers, the Obama appointees, and if we actually look at Obama and his legacy, he spent millions of dollars to keep his birth certificate secret.
Of course.
He spent millions of dollars to keep his college transcripts, or lack thereof, secret. He was an ineligible president, constitutionally.
I believe that 100%. Yep, you're right.
If that, and I believe that can be proven. Obviously, there were and are still forces at work willing to kill to protect those secrets forever. But if that truth came out to the American people, Wouldn't it make everything he did, everybody he appointed, every executive order he signed, null and void? I mean, I guess that'd be one way to go about it.
I would suspect that would, at this point, you know, I don't know the answer to that. Any more than Hillary knows the, when Hillary says, well, you know, I'd contest the election if, the results, if it was found out that these Russians, you know, changed the outcome. You know, okay, by what mechanism? By what mechanism?
Somebody needs to give her a knuckle sandwich. You know, she was actually in the news.
She might want to rephrase that because they're gonna knock on your door now.
I have been very patient. I've had a good attitude. I can laugh about it. You know, watching the Hillary Clinton craziness. But what we are seeing now, and there's an article on Hagerman Report I posted that, you know, she, before the election, when she was guaranteed to win, when asked, you know, if she thought Donald Trump was going to raise issues about the fairness of the election, and she said anybody who would question the legitimacy of the election is a threat to democracy.
Right.
She is now openly advocating to get rid of the Electoral College. She is also talking about her fantasy of legally challenging.
And I talked about that on my show this morning. Right. The purpose of, well, indirectly, I guess, the purpose is the long gone practice of these states electing the senators. But
I mean, this is how psychotic she is.
Yeah.
She is so deranged. And last week I was trying to say something and it didn't come out right. In history, you have a number of people who left such a horrible imprint that they developed nicknames. And I'm probably not going to get this right, like Ivan the Great or Ian the Terrible, you know, Vlad the Impaler.
Right.
Hillary the Delusional should be her name. Because she continues to...
I don't think she's as much delusional, Joe, as she is
Hillary the
criminal.
Well, Hillary the sociopath. Hillary the psychotic. I don't know. We got to think of a name. Because
I said Yak, but no one liked that. So except Tech Eric. He liked Yak. But.
Not only did she write a 500-page book blaming any and everybody, including Bernie Sanders, who she stole the primary from, for her election loss, to the point where even people who are asking her questions on these shows, interviewing her about her book, the one lady from The View, she asked Hillary a question, well, you know, you blame all these different people and situations for your election loss. What about your mistakes? That lady who asked that question never came back to The View.
They ever find her body?
Well, I believe she's still alive, but they would not say that that was the reason that she was let go. But I do believe, and many other journalists believe, it was because of that question asked to Hillary Clinton. Clinton is so delusional. She is so evil. Even in her book, she talks about making voodoo dolls of journalists and wanting to stick needles in them.
No, you're making that up.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Voodoo, she wanted about, to make voodoo dolls?
No, she says, yes, I want to take voodoo dolls and make them to represent journalists.
Oh, okay.
And fill them
full
of needles.
She didn't actually do that.
No, but she stated how she wanted to.
Ouch,
she also,
ouch, ouch, ouch. I got a pain in my eye. Ouch, ouch.
She also talked about how after, and I don't believe this story for a second, how after the election, at least 20 different women, you know, approached her in public, apologizing to her for not voting for her. And she says in their book how she could not bring herself to absolve them of their sins for not voting for her. I mean, you could sell tickets to watch her in a padded room. She is unhinged. Could you imagine this country today if she was president?
Yeah, unfortunately,
we would have brand new facilities, prisons, federal prisons all over the country for the deplorables, for the political dissenters. There would be no more media. Antifa would be running Homeland Security.
Well, I mean, to some extent, I think they still are, but
it's crazy. It is absolutely insane. The more I I'm not going to read her book, but I basically have done so de facto by reading all the different excerpts that come out of it. She, and even Michelle Obama today, came out and said anybody, any woman who voted against Hillary Clinton voted against themselves.
Really? I wonder if we ask Juanita Broderick that question, or Kathleen Wiley, or let me think. You know, when Hillary Clinton, back in 1978, when she was with Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton, I don't know if I need to say allegedly, but reportedly raped Juanita Broderick, and even hurt her to the point where she had to seek treatment for a bit, the lip
right.
was bit through. Hillary Clinton had intimidated Juanita Broderick, and she did that with many other mm-hmm. in many other cases. So the bottom line is, who's the misogynist here? Is it Donald Trump or is it Hillary Clinton? But see, the perverted, deluded snowflake women can't get that through their heads. Go ahead.
I mean, one of these days, it'll be so nice to never have to mention Hillary Clinton again when she goes the way of Hugh Hefner. But she's going to be in the news as long as she's selling books, even though they reduce the price, you know, down to basically $2 a book just so they can move them off the shelves. But it'll come soon enough.
I wonder how they... Well, anyway.
Coming up,
Steve Quayle, yeah. It's a good job.
We're going to talk about the True Legends Conference.
Well, he's going to give the presentation.
Good.
Roman,
good.
So this is going to be... You pay attention.
Because I wasn't there, and I didn't see the presentation, so I'm going to be just as intently paying attention to this as the audience out there. Folks, we'll be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.